Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Give it up for TJ Watt. Give it up for Chris Boswell. Give it up for, I guess, the general gumption of the entire roster. But really, really give it up for Najee Harris. Good morning to you. Good Monday morning. I'm Dejan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. And this is Daily Shot of Steelers. It comes your way bright and early every weekday. If you're into hockey and or baseball, I also offer up daily shots of Penguins and Pirates all year round, right where you found this. Steelers 23, Seahawks 20 in overtime, thanks to a TJ forced fumble and a Boswell field goal in the extra period. Devin Bush recovered the fumble, but he was so lousy the rest of the game, I'm not even going to give him credit. Plus, what was he doing running backward there? Anybody figure that out? The guy who made this happen from the offensive standpoint, and no, I'm not necessarily equating this to TJ's heroics at the end, but the guy who made this happen from the offensive standpoint was Najee. And the reason that that mattered was the defense was just getting gashed. And I'm borrowing TJ's own term for what the Seahawks were doing to the Steelers with the running game, with their starting running back not even there, with their starting quarterback, who's a running quarterback, Russell Wilson, obviously, not even there. And all of this seemed to set the stage for someone on the offense to step up. Someone needed to be that guy on offense. And I remember thinking that, even saying that at the time, through the fourth quarter and into the overtime. Someone needed to be that guy on the offense. The easy thing to say is that no one was that. But this is not true. This is not true. Because on the Steelers' last pass play of the fourth quarter, the one that set up Boswell's 52-yard field goal to briefly put the Steelers ahead 20-17, it was Najee who caught a pass from Ben Roethlisberger in the short flat. He was yet again the check down. Painfully familiar script that we're seeing. Everything is check down, check down, check down. But that'll be another complaint for another day. We've got a bye week coming up. And Najee catches this ball and he turns around. Two Seahawks there. No blockers. Like, this is just the most Matt Canada play, and I don't mean that in a positive sense, to summarize the first 6 weeks of the Steelers season that's even possible. And Najee has to find a way to get around one of them and then kind of drag him along until he gets just enough yards. Just enough yards. This was third down to get, he didn't get to the sticks, but he got to Boswell's realistic range. And Boswell, of course, does what he does, even from 52 yards. That, to me, is the play of the game within the context that you needed someone on offense to do something. And it wasn't happening on either side of the ball. And just this one time, you needed the offense to be the thing that made the difference. This portion of Daily Shot of Steelers is brought to you by Point Park University. Choose from nearly 100 career-focused programs leading to bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees. Choose when and how you'd prefer to do those studies, whether it's at Point Park's gorgeous downtown Pittsburgh campus, whether it's online, maybe a flexible hybrid format. Learn more about all of this at pointpark.edu. We knew about TJ. We knew about TJ. We knew about Cam Hayward. And both of those guys came up with the splash that you expect from them. In the end, the reason I'm focusing today on Najee after that is that, yeah, I mean, he had, you know, he had a pretty good overall game. It wasn't great. Nobody was glowing about the running game afterward. It was good enough. It wasn't spectacular. 24 carries for 81 yards isn't going to get anybody excessively excited. It's a 3.4 average. His long was 10. Six catches for 46 yards is a decent day for a running back. That also brought a long of 12, including a touchdown. It's more about the cumulative effect that he's beginning to have on this offense. Maybe as its only truly reliable component. And I say that with respect to Pat Freiermuth having a 7-catch day, Deontay Johnson stepping up with 9 catches in the first game without Juju Smith-Schuster, and other decent things that you saw occasionally from the offense, including from Ben. This kid is the one thing that you can say, when we give him the ball, there's a better chance of something good happening than something that's either neutral or outright bad. And when they got to that spot on the field, the Steelers did, and you saw all those receivers running downfield like they always do, as nothing other than decoys, as if every other defensive coordinator the Steelers face hasn't figured this out already. And everyone knows Najee's going to get the ball in some form or other, most likely via short pass. And the other team's defense is set for it, 100% set for it. Waiting, just sitting there, licking their lips. And he still finds a way to get around them or through them or over them, and he gets the yardages needed to win the game. Man, that to me is, that's something. That's something. That inspires confidence, not least of which, I should stress here, is in the quarterback himself with his run-pass options, being at the line of scrimmage, calling number 22 again and again and again. Here's what Ben had to say on that subject.
Well, anytime we can run the ball, it's, you know, all, once again, all those were RPOs. And when they're giving it to us, we've got to just kind of, you know, coach does a war of attrition, right? Just keep going. And KB coming in there and running a couple times hard. And, you know, it was encouraging to see towards the end of that game when you really need it, you can pick up 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 when you really need it.
The KB he references, of course, is Kalen Ballage, who had 2 carries for 15 yards, which might be the first positive carries any running back not named Najee has had all season long. One of them was an 11-yarder. It was actually a nice run, too, by KB. But this impact that Najee is having on this still maddeningly inconsistent, seemingly identity-free offense is having more of an impact, I think, than any other player is having on any other facet of this football team. And it is there to be appreciated, not lost in the splash that was generated by a couple of guys there at the end, guys that we're used to seeing the splash from, okay? Guys who are being paid handsomely to have produced that splash over a long period of time. Those are knowns. Those are constants. Najee still feels like a variable because anything that looks good in this offense feels like a variable. I don't mean to, you know, sound whatever dour about this. I wasn't ecstatic about any component to this performance overall. This one really, I feel like, knocked me back a peg. I was prepared for these Steelers to, you know, and there's no such thing as an easy game in the NFL, but I was prepared for them to have a chance to kind of spread their wings a little bit, you know, and do something, show something in front of this primetime, big crowd, Hall of Fame guys there and everything else here. And not only did it not happen, but a new shortcoming was flagrantly, hideously exposed. And that's a tough way to go into a bye week. You know? You can't just get gashed like that. You can't walk off that field feeling good about yourself when you've just been cut up by a bunch of backup running backs who are steamrolling through you. That's not a thing in football. There's no such creation at any level of football where the team says, yeah, we gave up a zillion yards on the ground, but man, did we play well. That was awesome. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. So it's nice that the splash came around and everything else here. There are a lot of problems with this team. So I'm going to focus again on Najee, because he is not a problem, to say the least. When we come back, just one question.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back, it's time for Just One Question, and that's brought to you always by the personal injury law firm of Luxembourg, Garbin, Kelly, and George, LGKG. They represent people who've been hurt in car accidents, who need assistance with workers' comp, who filed medical malpractice claims. The attorneys at LGKG have been keeping promises in our region for over 80 years. They pride themselves in doing what they say they're going to do. Learn more about them at lgkg.com or by calling 888-842-5454. And today's J1Q
comes from my man, Jerry Mangold, who asks, tell me your take on Claypool 21. I thought if the Steelers had an LVP in this game, that it was Chase Claypool. Huge disappointment, especially in a week where he knows, everybody knows, the offense is going to be without Juju. And not that Juju is all super valuable or whatever. He still, at least theoretically, was, I should say, while he was healthy, the number three receiver on this team. But this is your chance to really, you know, rise up, even if it's just for selfish purposes. Even if it's like, hey, you know, it's my time. Now I'm going to get the ball. You know, I'm tired of being in the back seat behind this guy or that guy. The way you react to that is the way Deontay did. And I didn't even know that Deontay played the greatest game. I thought he had a couple of catches he could have made, one of them potentially for a touchdown. But at least Deontay ended up with 9 catches for 71 yards, including a 23-yarder. At least he did something. He rose up. Freiermuth, although he's a tight end, he ended up taking some of Juju's catches, 7 of them in all for 58 yards, including some big ones for a first down. And then there's Claypool. 2 catches for 17 yards. He was targeted 7 times. You saw them. You saw the offensive pass interference. You saw that even after he caught the ball on the offensive pass interference, he didn't keep a foot in bounds, which meant even if he'd gotten away with the OPI, which he does an awful lot of, incidentally, and eventually stripes get wise to you on that sort of thing, it wouldn't have counted. It wouldn't have counted. 2 other times, and this is the one that bugs me the most, Jerry, this meaning this component to his play. 2 other times, you saw Ben throw the ball in one direction and Claypool going in a completely different direction. And, are you really going to pin that on the quarterback who's been around for 18 years? I mean, maybe. You never know these things. You can't make the players and the coaches wear orange jumpsuits and torture them until they give you answers on stuff like this. They tell you what they want to tell you. They're not required to give this sort of stuff up. And they're always going to take the blame, even if they do answer the question. Oh, nope, that's on me. We've just got to be better. Put that one on me. And then you got to sit there and try to decipher the code. But when you see Ben being mostly on the same page, not entirely, but mostly on the same page, as far as routes go, as far as intent, where the pass should go, where the receiver should have turned, with everyone other than one guy, I'm inclined to believe that the one guy was the issue, and that's Claypool. That's Claypool. Is he not working hard enough in classroom settings? Is he not understanding the playbook? When I see Ben throw the ball 20 yards away from Claypool, and Claypool still run down the field, and Ben was sure that he was supposed to turn around and hook back, and I see Ben's body language is that of frustration and not like my bad type of frustration, I'm inclined to believe that the receiver isn't doing enough. Claypool has extraordinary size and athleticism for a receiver. He will not ascend to any kind of special level, whichever Tron you want to assign to him as a nickname, whether it's Mega, Maple, whatever, none of it's going to happen until he gets his head squarely in the game, squarely into football. And I'll go a step further than that. All the stuff that I talked about in the opening segment about Najee and whatever else, Juju's gone. And that is not insignificant. As I was saying all week long, Juju's a reliable, in particular, third down receiver. he does make most of his plays. And after he catches the football, he's the toughest SOB out there. This is a loss. But it's a massive loss when compared to having any of those targets being taken by this version of Claypool. I feel like I have to borderline apologize for getting all negative today. You've heard the opposite, too. You've heard me after the Steelers have had a tough loss, and I'll focus on the stuff that's positive or promising. I'm a lot more about that kind of stuff. It's not just being like the opposite of whatever seems to be the current. It's about looking for things that mean something toward a broader trend. Is the team getting better? Did it take a step backward? Is it stagnant? Is it somewhere in the middle? To me, this win, as welcome as it is in the standings, and the Steelers being at 3-3 and having a chance to get a little healthier through the bye week and then having a chance to take advantage of a really pretty unimpressive Cleveland team, I have to say, up at their place in a couple of weeks, that's all well and good. Outcomes are outcomes. But this was a step back. This was a step back in way too many ways. New holes were found in this football team. Now they've got to build those back up. They've got to build those back up. I appreciate the question, Jerry. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Steelers. We'll do another one tomorrow.